rubber meets the road, stalled debt talks ripple down Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. It's the morning open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, how the debt ceiling drama is affecting the markets. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 108 points, 8-tenths of a percent, to 12,572. The NASDAQ down 8-tenths as well, to 2834. The S&P 500 down 9-tenths of a percent, to 1332. We just got word NFL owners and players have reached a deal to end the Football League lockout. It includes a salary cap of $120 million for players. Maybe Capitol Hill should take that ball and run with it. Sadly, gridlock seems to be gripping the debt talks. If a decision can't be reached by August 2nd, the U.S. could be forced to default on some of its debts. Julia Coronado is chief economist for BNP Paribas. She joins us live. Julia, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Julia, the markets are down, but things do seem stable. What effect are the debt talks having?
Well, as you noted, the stock market's off a little bit, although after the run we've had in the last couple of weeks, it's hardly a blip. And we're also seeing interest rates rising, so signaling some less confidence in the federal government. I think probably one of the bigger moves is in gold. Gold is hitting all-time highs yet again, and I think that reflects the sentiment that governments in general lack credibility.
Yeah, the price of oil is down as well this morning, right?
Yes, and that's probably reflecting some economic concerns. And, of course, one of the big questions is what impact does this have on the recovery? And it is true that no matter what's agreed to in Washington, we're losing federal support. And so we have the lack of that boost to the recovery, and it's just yet another headwind facing the U.S. But I think if we avoid a government shutdown, you know, the implications are very gradual and drawn out over time.
Will this debate do any long-term damage to Treasury bills, assuming that they are able to resolve it?
Well, the world is changing, and we're entering an era where the U.S. isn't driving growth, and it isn't the dominant, while the dollar is still the reserve currency, the U.S. economy isn't the centerpiece of the world anymore, and I think this is just one indication of that. It's important, though, that the policymakers retain the credibility and fiscal discipline so that there isn't a more disorderly and damaging reaction, loss of confidence in the U.S. As a place to invest. So it's very important that they begin to take the right decisions.
Julia Coronado is chief economist with BNP Paribas. Thank you, Julia.
It's my pleasure.
And here to shed some light on the business of these negotiations is Tom Cohan with MIT's Sloan School of Management. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Tom, when the two lead negotiators in this case, President Obama and Republican Speaker John Boehner, they're not just negotiating for themselves, but on behalf of their parties and the public. How does that change the talks?
Well, we have a mixed negotiations here, negotiations where the people at the table don't really control their constituencies very well. And in many ways, the constituencies have been driving these negotiations, particularly on the Republican side, where the Tea Party caucus within the House really has staked out a very strong and unbending position. And that has limited Boehner's flexibility and limited his ability to make a deal.
One of the difficulties that they're running up against is that there are some people who don't seem to want a negotiation on both sides. How does that factor into this debate?
There's a concept in negotiations that you always have to worry about your bet. Now, that is, what's your best alternative to a negotiated agreement? The Republican caucus in the House, the best alternative to a negotiated agreement is no agreement. They're okay with that because it makes them look good to their constituents and so allows them to hold to a more extreme position. The president doesn't really have a very good BATNA. He needs an agreement because the economy needs an agreement. And so unless the president can generate an alternative, he has to get an agreement somewhere in this process to raise that ceiling.
Tom Cohan is a professor at MIT's Sloan School of Management. Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you, Stacey.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
And now for a time-honored institution.
At the third stroke, the time from BT will be 10, 42, and 10 seconds.
Britain's speaking clock is celebrating its 75th anniversary. Stephen Beard has more.
The speaking clock has been telling the Brits the time for 75 years, 12 hours, 50 minutes and 45 seconds precisely, and it's still going strong. It still gets 30 million calls a year, earning the phone company BT some $16 million. A bit of a mystery when you can check the precise time for free on your cell phone or computer. But BT's Sian Wynne-Jones says many Brits still have more faith in the speaking clock.
It is the single point of accurate time in the UK. It's accurate to 0.005 of a second. It's so accurate that even Big Ben is synchronised by the speaking clock.
The Brits use it most on New Year's Eve, but the need for accuracy may not be the only reason people call the speaking clock. The man whose voice delivered the time for 22 years used to get fan mail. Some people called the service late at night just to hear his calm, reassuring tones. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Finally, Citigroup is unveiling a new credit card today. The so-called Simplicity card has no late fees and a single interest rate for all purchases. It's also got a pretty steep interest rate, 17%, no rewards, and requires a very high credit score. Hey, it's a credit card. You didn't think there wouldn't be a catch, did you? In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It seems so basic until you can't do it.
Thumb is able to grasp a plate or to pass a business card or to grasp a key to turn in a lock.
Introducing the iLimb. I'm Kai Rizdahl, publicity for prosthetics. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.